This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, quick news item that came out overnight that I know a lot of Rocket fans were concerned about in the aftermath of Saturday's win over the Pelicans, in which Amen Thompson was still in the game while the Rockets were up 30-plus. Went up for a jump shot, came down on the whichever player was defending him, came down on that player's foot, twisted his left ankle. According to Shams Charania of ESPN.com, Amen Thompson is going to be out for 10 to 14 days as he's recovering from this sprained ankle. If we take it if we go conservative here, Seth, and let's go the 14 days on this, that he's out for the full 14 days, that would have him back for Sunday, March 23rd, a home game against the Denver Nuggets, which coincidentally is when the schedule starts to increase in difficulty again. The Rockets play several teams over the next 2 weeks. Not as easy as New Orleans was on Friday. That was basically a 2-hour layup line. But Orlando tonight at home. Orlando's they're an 8-seed-ish team, play-in team. Phoenix, we know, is at its share of struggles. They're here on Wednesday. They've got Dallas, who's a mess right now. Dallas finished the game this weekend they played with 7 healthy players. And they don't have cap space right now underneath whatever apron it is they're under on the CBA to actually go get guys. I don't know what the solution is for. They've got like $50,000 of space. It costs $119,000 to sign someone to a 10-day contract.
Maybe they could trade Anthony Davis to somebody.
Maybe.
They should do that.
Yeah.
If they're in win-now mode. I hear that's all the rage these days.
Yep. So Dallas, Chicago, Philly, and that wraps up the homestand. And then you're at Orlando, at Miami. So road games that are, there's no layups on the road for this Rockets team, unfortunately. But that's a manageable part of the schedule. Unfortunately, you're missing out on the guy on your roster who rights a lot of wrongs when there's mistakes defensively on the glass. Like, he's a big reason why, even though you don't shoot all that well, you get plenty of possessions because of his tenacity on the glass. You're going to miss Amen Thompson the next couple
months. There's been parts this entire calendar year of 2025 where your knee-jerk gut reaction is like, all right, you should be able to handle playing for a stretch without Jabari Smith Jr. And I would say the same in this situation where it's a limited amount of time. You should be able to handle playing without Amen Thompson. Fred VanVleet's injuries is what I guess makes all of that more complicated. The Rockets aren't a good enough team to where they can withstand, I think, two or more of their better players or more critical players being gone. They're not that deep or that good.
No.
That's the part that makes it really, really dicey.
Well, not at that position either. I mean, Fred VanVleet's your floor general. I think he's questionable tonight. Amen's obviously out. But Amen was the guy with no Fred VanVleet, at least for portions while he was in there. He's the one initiating the offense, and now he's out for a couple weeks. So when you get a cluster like that at one key position, it's pretty painful. So there's your update there. The other quick update, Christian Walker, who flew back to Houston with an oblique injury for the Astros, free agent first baseman, big part of what they're going to do this year. The injury not believed to be severe. No strain shown on the MRI, so that was good news for Astro fans. The Myles Garrett contract extension is getting a ton of attention, and rightfully so. One of the questions somebody asked me this weekend, Seth, and for those who don't know, Myles Garrett, let me ask you this before I get to what people were asking me this weekend. Myles Garrett, who is agitating for a trade since Radio Row. Like, he was there at the Super Bowl doing interviews, talking about openly about the Washington Commanders as a place he could go. While under contract with the Cleveland Browns, he had been adamant he wanted to be traded. The culture wasn't right in the building. He was literally like bringing up examples of the culture being bad in the building. And lo and behold, here we are coming in on March the 10th, and Myles Garrett all of a sudden is the highest paid non-quarterback in football by a fairly significant amount when you consider that the previous high had been set Thursday of last week. Went from $35.5 million to $40 million. What was your gut reaction about Myles Garrett when you saw this?
My gut reaction was, oh, okay, he's clearly fraudulent in his his claim that he only wanted to go
on the same
for
page. Okay,
a winner. Yeah. That, like, okay, he's a fraud. Like, that's just bogus. And he tried to play the PR game. And I think it worked for a little while because Browns fans were like, yeah, you see, what a cesspool. I can see him wanting to get out of here because he wants to be a winner, baby. And then I wondered if you're a Browns fan, I know how I am. I probably, once I accepted that, okay, Myles Garrett's going to force his way out and the Browns will try to talk a big game and say they don't plan on trading him, I would have started kind of counting up the draft picks in my mind. And I'd start thinking about, man, wow, think about what they could get for Myles Garrett and what we could do with that on this team that still has to deal with Deshaun Watson's huge contract from when the Texans got a boatload of picks for Deshaun Watson. I would have thought, screw this guy.
Yeah.
All right, okay, so you were clearly lying to us. This is what Tony Grossi, who does really funny videos on the internet, he'll do like fan reactions where he pretends he's a Browns fan or a Rams fan or whomever.
Yeah.
This is Tony Grossi doing the Cleveland Browns fan reaction to news that Myles Garrett's coming back.
Myles Garrett is now the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. Oh, geez, I wonder what caused the change of heart because he was so dead set on leaving. Oh, yeah. Money. Remember when Myles Garrett said he wanted to go play for a winner? Hey, at least this means we're drafting a QB, right? Honestly, I think I should be paid $40 million a year just to be a Browns fan. Well, it's a good thing we have no other contracts taking up cap space, right?
I like the little.
It's the last little. It's a lot better on video, except for that last little. I don't know. I wonder. Did you get to listen to Cleveland Radio?
No, I'm going to do it. I didn't get to do that this morning. I'm going to do it today to see.
I'm going to guess the reaction is largely people saying, like, I guess this should be good news, but also remember, this is a guy. Basically, what it ends up being is a guy who had 2 years left on his contract that really tried to stick it to the Browns, and the Browns ended up caving in and giving him the money. And at a time when, man, it sure would be nice if a guy like Myles Garrett would just be the ultimate team player, this, that, and the other thing. It's got to be hard to feel awesome about because Browns fans don't feel like there's any hope in the immediate future for actually being able to take advantage of Myles Garrett and what he can do as a player.
It sounds wild to say this because Myles Garrett is one of the best players in football. This does not position them nearly as well to eventually win a Super Bowl as it would have to have traded Myles Garrett for a bunch of draft picks.
Yeah.
Because this is a version of the Browns that is going downhill fast. Still has over $170 million in Deshaun Watson money sitting on future caps. Even more now that they turned almost all of his salary into signing bonus this week. Like, Deshaun Watson became more a part of the Browns' future this past week than less a part of the Browns' future. And this is my feeling, Seth. I don't think Andrew Berry's a dumb person. He's their general manager. I think this franchise is so broken that Myles Garrett has become basically the defensive version of what Joe Thomas was to them through the earlier part of this iteration of the Browns, where, okay, we're not going to make the playoffs anytime soon. We're broken. We're probably going to have a young quarterback with no cap space to go do things. At the very least, we're going to take the guy who's been, maybe other than Joe Thomas, our best player of Browns 2.0 since 1999, and make sure that he retires a Brown and waltzes into Canton as a Cleveland Brown. This is all those people have right now, is stuff like that. You know
what the Browns are good at doing, taking guys like Joe Thomas or Myles Garrett or Jim Brown. Did they win a championship with Jim Brown?
Back in the day, they did. It was pre-Super Bowl. They did.
So it worked out with Jim Brown.
Yeah, okay. This would be like, it's not a perfect analogy, but I think it's a perfect analogy in terms of where the two teams were. When the Texans, when J.J. Watt still had a year left on his deal, and he didn't want to be here anymore. I think J.J. Watt legitimately didn't want to be here anymore, and he saw that the future looked like, and he wanted to go play somewhere that at least he had a better chance to win. If the Texans had given J.J. Watt in 2021 a four-year market-level deal to make sure he retired a Texan, how do you think people would have reacted?
Well, that would have been really weird, just because J.J. had had so many injuries by that point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not
that would have been uncomfortable.
Yeah,
because it really would have been at least Joe Thomas and Myles Garrett, when they get big contracts to stay with a sinking ship, at least they made sense from a football standpoint. Yeah. You would have been giving J.J. Watt a much better deal than he was able to get when he was out on the market on his own.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think that. Yeah, I think people would have felt very awkward, because they would have wanted to lambaste the deal, yet at the same time felt like, all right, but I do love J.J. Watt. This is just a dumb deal, though.
Yeah, and that's what I wonder if Cleveland people are feeling that with Myles Garrett. Again, I know your point is well taken. He's a defensive player of the year candidate right now. J.J. was not in 2020. But if I were a Browns fan, I'd be like, okay, you know, for who, for what? You know, like, this is...
And you're doing it, and he's doing it. He strong-armed the team into doing it when he had 2 years left on his deal. Mm-hmm. That's the tough part to swallow, is that, man, all right, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt if you really are just so sick of losing that you want to go to a winner and you're trying to force your way out there. At least that feels like something admirable.
Yeah.
Where now what it feels like is, oh, no, you just bent them over a barrel to try to get as much money as possible and are being a complete mercenary about it. So there's very little redeeming value anywhere in there from an emotional standpoint.
Okay, a contract just came down that is of great interest to the Texans. I would say in the short term of even more interest than the Myles Garrett contract we've been discussing. I'm going to tell you what it is, and then we'll chop it up about it in the final segment of the show, because I hate teasing a news item that you can all go look up. But right now, J.C. Horn, young cornerback for the Carolina Panthers, who's a good player. He's not Stingley, but he's a good player. Just agreed to a four-year, $100 million extension, including $70 million guaranteed with the Carolina Panthers at $25 million a year. J.C. Horn, Seth, is now the highest-paid defensive back in NFL history. J.C. Horn is deal negotiated by Trevon Smith and David Mulligetta.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Stingley. David Mulligetta now represents Derek Stingley for any of you that don't know the connection. All right.
Yep. All right. So we'll chop up what that means. Could there be a Stingley extension coming down here sometime soon? We'll talk about that. We got a final segment coming up. Final chance to get rid of, ready for free agency at 11. I'm curious. I want to get on the record for how these musical chairs play out with the quarterbacks. Who do we think winds up with whom? Because we could come in tomorrow, and there could be three or four at least new starting quarterbacks that are big names for teams. So we'll hit that in the final segment, find out what the guys on In the Loop are doing to get you ready for free agency as well. Stay there.